No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
I received the following message during, I think it was during the second period, from my good friends Bobby and MJ. They watch the show religiously. They watch the post-game show. They watch the Saturday morning show. On occasion, they've been known to chat, as well. They, Bobby in particular, sent me the following message saying, you know, if you're workshopping names, if you're workshopping sort of introductions for tonight's post-game show, for this evening's post-game show, he suggested the following. And if you're listening with kids around, I'm going to give you a couple seconds to cover their ears, because Bobby did use some curse words here. He's a good man, but on occasion, he's known to curse once or twice. His suggested title for this game, Dave, was "Fuck You, Colorado. Fuck You, Dallas. The rest of the league, you are on notice." And I got to tell you, I mean,
you're starting off blue.
He works a little blue, that Bobby does, but his message and the sentiment behind the message over the last two Winnipeg Jets games isn't too far off. And with that, and I apologize for the cursing, we say good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all of those joining us this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to an unbelievable edition of the Illegal Curve post game show with Dave Manouk. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, and we talked about it earlier this morning, about, you know, 6 hours ago, give or take 7 hours ago, that it's going to be an important game. But I'm in shock over what we just saw from the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, dominating doesn't even begin to accurately describe the dismantling of the Colorado Avalanche that we just witnessed by the Winnipeg Jets. It was remarkable this evening, Dave. Absolutely remarkable.
So much so that it has you saying this evening at 5:30, as opposed to
it's late, you know, afternoon.
Especially, like, it's one thing in the winter, Drew, when it's, you know, the seasons, it's a little shorter, the sun's, you know, setting earlier, but now with the sun going later and later, it feels like it's still the afternoon, but. And let me tell you, it's been quite a day. Of course, I was at Canada Life Center for that entirety of that game. Moose scored 7 goals. The Jets scored 7 goals. I said to myself as I was getting ready to leave, thank God we're not doing a combined post-game show, because we would be here till tomorrow at the earliest. So it was a big win for the NHL and AHL clubs of Manitoba. And I think it's key to highlight that they're of Manitoba. This is not just a show that's based in Winnipeg. We cover for all folks in this province. And so, Drew, it's a remarkable game. It's a statement game from the Jets, coincidentally, right after they had a statement game in Dallas.
Right.
And so we wanted to see how they were going to respond. It was a focus of our conversation on this morning's program for 2 hours. And they responded. They answered the bell. I mean, this is not... Again, what do you want to, like, the people who would poo-poo, and you don't win the Stanley Cup by winning one game in the regular season.
No, you don't.
But you certainly emphatically put an exclamation point on the road trip against the best home team in the NHL. Colorado had 30 wins. Not one other team in the NHL has 30 wins at home. So Colorado did, and the Jets put up 7 on them. The Jets also look good in terms of their Jennings quest, because they don't allow a goal. So that's significant.
Six straight periods now without allowing a goal.
Six straight wins for this Jets team. Remember the one that everybody was... It's amazing, the sport we love to cover, Drew, because just a couple weeks back, this team was done. Don't even bother playing the playoffs. And now, what did they do for only the second time in franchise history? Again, little asterisks beside that, because of COVID for 2 years. And of course, the lockout shortened season. But just the second time ever a Jets team has hit 50 wins in the 2.0 era. So this team has been able to do it. And they did it with really good play throughout the course of this hockey game. And fans are excited. And they should be excited for a team that put up 7 against the Colorado Avalanche. And I'm not saying they haven't guaranteed themselves second, of course, because there still are 2 games. But as we touched on earlier, Drew, the Colorado Avalanche now have to go to play Vegas tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
While the Jets have till Tuesday before they welcome Seattle to town.
That's right. So Vegas right now, or pardon me, Colorado has to somehow, you know, they just got beat 7-0, and now you have mm-hmm. to fly, and in less than 24 hours, you have to play Vegas. And it could be at this time tomorrow, you might know if the Jets have home ice advantage for their matchup against the Colorado Avalanche. Dallas did win earlier today. So yeah. Any thoughts of Dallas losing out and the Jets winning out and the Jets, you know, claiming top spot in the Central Division, that has now gone by the wayside. Dallas clinched that position with their victory over Seattle tonight. But really, where you're at, one Jets victory or one Colorado loss, and the Jets will have second place clinched up in the Central Division. And they did it saying that they did it in an emphatic manner, it downplays it, Dave. It downplays what we just witnessed. I mean, we just witnessed a punking, if you will. The Jets punked Colorado. They went into Denver, and from the puck drop, they absolutely controlled the game against the Colorado Avalanche. Your point doesn't mean that it's going to happen just the same when these two teams face each other in the first round of the playoffs, beginning in 7, 8, or 9 days' time. Doesn't mean that it's, you know, past performance doesn't dictate future results. Mm-hmm. But if you're the Winnipeg Jets team and you did this against the Colorado Avalanche and you won 3-0 on Thursday,
on the heels of that one, for sure.
That's right, against the Dallas Stars. And so you've played your two chief rivals, the two teams that more than likely you're going to have to go through to get to a Western Conference final appearance. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not going to get too far ahead of ourselves, but these are likely to be the two teams you're going to have to defeat. Based on what you've done in the last, you know, two games, you have to be feeling pretty good about yourselves.
Yeah, I again, like I said, there's no better way to answer the questions that folks would throw your way than to do what Winnipeg was able to do. And we touched on it. You beat Nashville. You gave up 17 scoring chances against. Connor Hellebuyck was excellent. You won the game. But you don't want to win games consistently like that. Well, then you played a different game against Dallas and you smothered them. And what was the key that we talked about on today's show, Drew?
Yes.
Will the Jets be able to replicate in today's game, mm-hmm. what they did in Dallas? Because what we haven't seen from this Jets club is, you talked about it, or as you talked about it, and we all talked about it, but against the Rangers, they have that fantastic 60-minute game for the most part. They don't replicate it the next night. And then you see that fall off. Well, what did we see today? We saw that adherence to structure that has been so key for this Jets team's success. And, you know, I highlighted this, even though you corrected my math slightly earlier in the show. And I mean, by the show, I mean the Saturday morning show.
Earlier show today.
Yeah, because Colorado had scored so many goals and the Jets had not allowed allowed so few goals. It was a question of whether offense would win out over defense. Isn't it interesting that the team that played defensively better mm-hmm. was the team that scored 7 goals tonight? And we see, again, it's kind of the point that Rick Bowness has tried to hammer home with this Jets club, right? Is that good defense, proper structure will allow you to will allow you to have good opportunities. And when you have those good opportunities and guys who can finish like Sean Monahan, Tyler Toffoli, you're going to do that. And that's exactly what this Jets club did. And as a result, I mean, like I said, some folks might say this creates pressure on Winnipeg. Well, now, but I mean, ultimately, like I said, they've had a good series. What was the final series now between them and Colorado? They won three. Yeah,
they won all three.
Oh, okay, so it was, yeah, I knew they won three. I didn't realize it was only, I knew they'd won three, but I wasn't sure if it was a 4-game series or not, but.
I could be wrong. I mean, I know they didn't lose to Colorado this year. They won both games in Denver, because I remember the first win was the one we were at Boston Pizza for.
Yeah.
And clearly we'll be at Boston Pizza, looks like, for game three of the Jets first round series against the Avs, and more on that, of course, later as we know more. But I'm trying to remember if the Jets played
Denver. Rick is saying four games, all wins.
Did we play the Avs twice at home as well? Or did the Jets play them twice at home? I don't recall those games vividly, but I know they didn't lose to Denver. They didn't lose lose to the Avs this year.
Boring Sean Monahan said three. So okay. Rick and Boring have some
Rick and Boring beef. Sean Monahan can have some beef and beef it out accordingly. But we do know that the Jets didn't lose to the Avalanche. And that's, you know, to your point, though, Dave, the score 7-0. It's incredible. It's as one-sided as, you know, you're going to see. These aren't scores you traditionally see in the NHL. This is what teams did to the San Jose Sharks and the Chicago Blackhawks. I mean,
not the Jets, Colorado, but every other team.
Right. Well, you know, the Avalanche don't, this doesn't happen to, you know, quality teams, you know, exactly. Certainly not on a regular basis, but almost as impressive, equally as impressive, if not more so impressive is how they shut down the Avalanche. And don't tell me about the third period, because I'm like, come on, it was 7-0 at that point in time. When this game was competitive, the possession numbers for the Jets, 65% in the first period. You okay, fine. You're waiting to see what's Colorado going to do in the second period. You got embarrassed on home ice in that first period. How are you going to respond in the second period if you're the Colorado Avalanche? Are you going to try and scratch and claw and, you know, find a way to at least make this game competitive in period number two? Oh, the possession numbers in period number two, 61% possession for the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, this is these are dominant numbers from what the Jets put up today. And I know we're not going to we don't get ahead of ourselves on this show, but if we're anything, it's we're honest. And if we're going to sit and if we were going to try and nitpick the Winnipeg Jets performance today, that would be insulting to you, the viewer, and insulting to those who are listening to the podcast edition of this show. That's the Jets played as perfect a first 40 minutes as you can. And the final 20 minutes, they didn't matter. And the Jets still managed to, I would say, maintain a lot of their structure. And whatever Colorado had in those final 20 minutes, a lot of it was still to the outside. Oh, and when they had chances, you got a guy named Connor Hellebuck making the saves.
Absolutely.
And perfect, I like this comment, recipe for the Jets.
And I like this comment from Oscar Grouch. Yeah. He says, the score is fun, but it's how the Jets did it. Everyone bought in and they were dominant. And you know what, Drew? I think that your point is one I was thinking about, right? When the Jets had built themselves a significant lead in the first period, you're like, 4-0. Now, it leads one to believe that the Jets are going to win that game, but is Colorado going to be able to kind of turn the tables on them in the second period, which is a lot of the comments we had on our Twitter account after tweeting out the first intermission link. And folks were like, well, let's just see how they handle the middle frame.
Well,
they handled it. And they handled it real well. So, look, they didn't have the benefit of home ice. They didn't have the benefit of last change. And the lineup from top to bottom, David Gustafson, 2 assists in tonight's hockey game. I mean, now I'm doing what you're saying, Drew, tonight's hockey game. But again,
it's okay.
It was as significant a win as we've seen because, again, this is on the heels of Dallas. That's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see how the Jets were going to respond to that game against the Dallas Stars, the one that we lauded them for on Thursday night. And we'll continue to laud them because, I mean, what else can you do, right? They won 7-0 against their chief rival, the team we now know they will be playing in that first round. So, you know, as he mentioned it on this morning's show, they did not play. They've never played the Avs before in the playoffs. So it should make for some fun, some late night games, of course, because, team out west, so that should be exciting. And then, like I said, it's going to make for a lot of fun. It's going to make a lot of late night post game shows. This one's a little earlier, but yeah, like I said, Jets fans should be happy because 3-0 against Dallas, 7-0 against Colorado. The team is playing offensively well, defensively well. Goaltenders are playing great. I mean, that's a recipe for success.
It certainly is a recipe for success. We got 7 goals to talk about, so let's get into it. It's with the Betway game recap. Settle in, folks. This one's going to be fun and entertaining.
The Betway game recap.
Big thanks to our friends at Betway for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. If you're looking for a safe and responsible way to make a wager or two, check out our friends at Betway. They have the sports betting app that puts you, the customer, at the forefront. You must be 19 years or older to play, and of course, Betway does always want you to play responsibly. The Jets opened the scoring at the 5:59 mark of the first period. They came out as a house on fire. They started the game the right way. They were controlling the early opening minutes of the game, and they were rewarded with the first goal of the game. It's Sean Monahan, his 25th of the year, assist to Nikolai Ehlers and Neil Pionk, this coming at the 5:59 mark. And the Jets are just doing a great job of cycling the Avalanche in this instance. They are going from front to back, below the net, to high and down and around, and Ehlers walks it out, and Monahan is there to tuck it past Alexander Georgiev, who ends up being an absolutely shell-shocked version of himself in tonight's game, and the Jets have an early 1-0 lead, Dave.
Yeah, and look, that's one of the Avalanche's biggest weaknesses, right, Drew? That's one thing we would all say, is that they're, you know, definitely going to be concerned about their goaltending. And if we had to say there was a weakness for Colorado, that would be it. We mentioned that on this morning's show. And this is just another good cycle by Winnipeg, right? And Sean Monahan, and I jokingly tweeted this, but talk about found money in terms of a guy who knows how to play with Nikolai Ehlers. Mm-hmm. And Nikolai Ehlers, I'm not saying Nikolai Ehlers is limited, but I just think that you just see the way he's been playing a harder game, right? A little more physical. He engages in some contact, maintains possession of the puck. And then Monahan, it's not great defense, of course, Sam Girard
gets a little, the guy who's covering.
He's kind of caught watching. So you kind of, I didn't want to say Sam because I didn't want to insult your son, Sam, but it's okay. I think it's one of those situations where, I mean, Monahan has a nose for the net, right? And he finds that space. And, you know, Girard is definitely not paying attention to where he needs to be. So Monahan gets a little bit open. But, yeah, you got to give these guys credit, because one of the things that Rick Bowness talked about, and we mentioned a little bit on today's show, but I don't know how much we talked about it. You could see that Rick Bowness was loath to break up the trio of Toffoli, Monahan, and Ehlers. And even though he wanted to get the Scheifele line going. So he broke up Ehlers' line, that second line, which had been going. And so under the desire to get that first line going, but when those guys are back together, it's an impressive play. So it's a nice opening goal, and it kind of set the tone, I thought, for the Jets, how they were going to have to play. And they did continue that on later in the period.
Yeah, so Monahan beats Girard on this play. And it's worth noting Sam Girard left the game for the Avalanche with an upper body injury and didn't return. I'm not sure what his status is. But for an Avalanche team, you know, they can't, like any team at this point in time, Sam Girard is a key member of their defense. You don't want to have to lose any guys at this point in time. You know, I'm looking at a quote from Megan Angley, who, of course, we had on the show, who covers the Avalanche for DNVR Avalanche for the, you know, DNVR. And a quote from Jared Bednar is, quote, "You can't be forgetting why it ended up like that. We're going to have to remember it. We're going to have to learn from it." So that's what the Avalanche head coach had to say with regards to tonight's absolute shellacking of the Avalanche by the Winnipeg Jets. So 1-0 for the Jets early on, thanks to this goal by Monahan, and they double it up.
Charlie Drew, if I told you that would be the game-winning goal.
It's true. It is the game-winning goal. I never really thought about that, but the Jets double it up. Now they're just pouring it on at this point in time. 2-0, it's exactly 2 minutes and 3 seconds later. It's a power play goal by Gabe Vilardi, and this is just the Jets' power play sort of working at its best. It's moving the puck. What I love about this one, it's Vilardi, his 21st, from Connor and Morrissey, and it's a great pass by Kyle Connor. It's a seam pass going right through the blue paint, and Gabe Vilardi standing where he always scores, half a foot away from the goaltender. And what I love about it, though, and he's not on the scoreboard, is how Mark Scheifele gets the loose puck and protects the puck and then works it around from Morrissey to Connor and then across again to Vilardi for the goal. And again on this one, Josh Manson, Avs defenseman, he's late getting back into the play. They're in the box, but you can see him watching the replay on the second screen here. Josh Manson is just, he's flying into the screen, Dave, but it's after basically Vilardi's already scored the goal. So I'm not sure where Manson is on this play, but he's not where he needs to be. And if you're leaving a guy right next to your goalie all alone, I mean, it's asking for trouble. I mean, the numbers for Georgiev in this are going to be awful, but he really didn't get a lot of support from his defense.
No, Manson was chasing Scheifele along the boards and then was very slow getting back. So very it was slow. Not good. It was not good recognition by him to, you know, quickly realize, well, wait a second, I'm a defenseman. Why am I not at the front of the net protecting the house? He was not. He abandoned ship. And, you know, that you're right. So it was nice protection by Scheifele. Good movement, right? They one of the things about this Jets power play was the stagnation. Well, they were moving quickly, both their feet, but also from their positions, right? Like they weren't remaining stationary and kind of staying within a 2-foot radius. You had guys go like Velarde went from the right side of the ice all the way to the other side, get to that position beside the net, and beautiful pass by Kyle Connor. And we always talk about Kyle Connor and the fact that he's always recognized as a goal scorer, but he's a hell of a good passer. And it wasn't the first and only time we would see it in this hockey game. But, you know, 81 can make a great first pass. And so he makes, you know, that, and he's deceptive about it too, right, Drew? Like you see him just kind of make that little head fake, get the guys to bite on it, and then right across to Velarde. And because one thing about Gabriel Velarde we got to talk about is just how good he is. I mean, I saw like a heat map of his goals, and it's like,
boom,
it's like
right next to the net.
It's the net and then Gabriel Velarde. So, and Gabriel Velarde himself said to us when we were interviewing him about, you know, he goes, well, where do I score my goals from? It's right there. So, I mean, it's a winning combination, and it's a 2-0 lead for the Jets because they're playing to their strengths and they're using their assets. And as a result, like I said, they've got themselves a 2-0 lead.
Yeah, exactly right. 2-0 before the game is 10 minutes old in Denver. And then the Avs, you know, truthfully, you know, the Jets, you know, they win, they score 7 goals, but they left, you know, opportunities on their sticks as well. Right. I mean, there were, you know, Mark Scheifele with a breakaway. There was a couple 2-on-1s that didn't materialize. So as ridiculous as it sounds, 7 goals for the Jets, and they had opportunities to have even more. Morgan Barron, I think, had a chance, and he rifled it up over the net. So this was a complete dominant effort by the Winnipeg Jets. That's the theme of tonight's post game show. That and the cursing that I did earlier on when, you know,
Drew went blue.
And, yeah, exactly. Thanks to my friend Bobby there. But 2-0 at this point, and you're wondering, okay, the Jets are off to the good start. This is obviously an impressive start. But, you know, Colorado, they're a damn good hockey team. Don't take that away from them. You didn't see it today. Can they find their game? You're down 2 goals. It's not the end of the world. You don't obviously want to be down 2 goals, you know, halfway through the first period, but can you find your game? Can you find a way to get back into it? And they continue to run into penalty trouble. So the first goal, the first power play goal, the one by Velarde, comes with Nathan MacKinnon in the box. Now with Sean Walker in the box, the Jets score all of 4 seconds is officially what it was. 4 seconds after the penalty is whistled, the Jets score to make it 3-0. Josh Morrissey with the howitzer from the point, Sean Monahan with the clean face-off win to set up Morrissey, and it's our Seagram shot of the game.
The Seagram shot of the game.
You know, I had to pick one. They scored 7 goals. I didn't know which one to pick. I figured I might as well pick this one because it actually came off of a damn good shot. Big thanks, of course, to our friends at Seagram's. I suspect some people, more than a few people, might be tipping up a drink or two this evening with the beautiful weather and celebrating the Jets' victory. So we encourage you to pick up one of the great Seagram's products. Maybe Seagram's 83 is your choice for today. It is, of course, Manitoba's favorite Canadian whiskey. Whatever you're drinking, we do encourage you to, of course, first and foremost, drink responsibly because we want you back here for Tuesday night's edition of the Illegal Curve post-game show. We need you back here. We need you healthy. We need you healthy for all the Jets pre-game shows prior to each and every Jets home playoff game, those at City Place. So remember, the Illegal Curve pregame show, likely before games 1 and 2, as it clearly looks like the Jets are going to have the home ice advantage. And then, of course, for game 3, we're going to be at Boston Pizza on Taylor Avenue for a live broadcast and an Illegal Curve watch party. So wherever you are, whatever you're drinking, do it responsibly because we need you around moving forward, just like all your friends and family do as well. Monahan, clean face-off win. Back to Morrissey. Morrissey's shot beats Georgiev. What I love about this one, never mind the shot, never mind the clean faceoff win, is that Monahan is also causing a bit of a screen. He's going right in front of Georgiev's vision to impede him in trying to make the save, and it's 3-0 for the Winnipeg Jets. It's still 4 minutes and 53 seconds to play in the first period, Dave.
Well, and more importantly, Drew, they've allowed 3 shots. Like that's yes. the other thing that really needs highlighting is the fact that Absolutely. The Jets have only given up 3 shots to the Colorado Avalanche. Right. So you're looking at the Avs and you're thinking to yourself, how does a team with this much firepower, as I've already illustrated, 50 more goals than the Winnipeg Jets this season, or 55, according to Drew, or it was until they scored 7. Yeah. But the fact is, this is a team that scores, and they've limited them to that point. I think they ended up with, I think it was 16-6 at the end. But the fact is, they limited them to 3 shots while they already got a 3-0 lead. And my new favorite thing, by the way, when we're watching these games, is the Josh Morrissey fist pump after he scores. Yeah. Gotta say, I'm a big fan of Morrissey. Morrissey's not necessarily the most emphatic of folks. We've used that word a few times today, but he's not the most expressive. I guess I'll switch it out a little bit of players. So when he gives that little fist pump, you can see he's into it. And these guys know what's at stake. These guys know what it meant, right? I mean, we said, ironically, Drew, what was the comment we made earlier this morning? Well, if the Jets don't win this game, but they play well,
right?
You know, that's going to be the most important thing. Well, they played well. They did win this game. And, you know, it was plays like this. It was quick decisions. And you're right. Sean Monahan going to the front of the net to take away the eyes of the netminder. Josh Morrissey with the quick decision to fire that shot on net when he recognizes there's an opportunity. I mean, we know how smart Josh Morrissey is. And the Jets have themselves a 3-0 lead. I mean, there's not that much we can discuss on this goal, other than the fact that you're finding success on the power play. And, you know, that's one of the things. It's another power play goal. So that to me is again, another one of those positives that you can take away from this game, is that you now have, you know, the power play firing against a pretty good Avs team. I don't know exactly where they rank in terms of their PK off the top of my brain, but I've been watching a lot of hockey today, Drew, so I'm not entirely certain exactly what team I'm talking about. Was it Kyle Capobianco who scored? Not certain, but anyways. So yeah, I mean, it's a good lead.
The Avalanche PK entered the game 9th in the NHL.
Yeah. So you got a top 10 power penalty kill and a top, like I think the top 5 power play unit, or units. And you scored 2 of your 3 goals to start the game or on the power play. So it gives the Jets a good feeling. And again, it's one of the things we talked about, I think, that was key to focus on was, you know, this Jets team hasn't been healthy as a collective. And we know that, you know, Rick Bowness after the game said, I knew where you were going, Drew. We've been doing the show too long together to not have some sort of inclination. But yeah, if you want to read it, you can. I just was going to say that with the health of some of these players, especially guys who have been, you know, taking off morning skates and that sort of thing, there's always been that question mark of when you have the whole band back together. They've been having that more and more. And if you want to kind of touch on what,
so here's
usually,
what Rick Bowness
usually you save that stuff, Drew, but I knew where you're going.
I know. Look, after I'm not going to save it because I know you got a Moose minute to do later on, because the Moose put out a performance earlier today as well. So, yeah. You know, we'll save time for that. Here's what Rick Bowness had to say. This is according to our buddy Ken Wiebe, who's on site in Denver, that Rick Bowness about Sean Monahan and Vlad Namestnikov, who both didn't finish the game. Quote, they just got banged up a little bit. And with the score, the way it was better to give them a little bit of a break. So that's the Jets head coach talking about Sean Monahan and Vlad Namestnikov. So, you know, nothing it sounds like to worry about in any serious manner. And of course, the Jets are off until Tuesday. And I promise you that if Vegas ends up beating Colorado tomorrow, you're going to see a lot of guys starting to rest on Tuesday and Thursday, because those games won't actually matter in terms of playoff seeding. The Jets will have clinched second spot by that point in time. So we're at 3-0. We have 4 goals to go here, folks. We're at 4 minutes and 53 seconds to go in the first period. How about another goal for the winner? 10 seconds after the 3-0 goal, it's Adam Lowry getting his 11th of the year, assist to David Gustafson and Dylan DeMello. And, you know, again, the Jets, they take the puck off the faceoff. They get it deep into the Avalanche zone. It goes back up to DeMelo. DeMelo with the good shot that Gustafson tips, and there's a big rebound, and Adam Lowry is going right through the blue paint area, gathers the rebound, turns, fires, and beats Georgiev to make it 4-0. The Jets go bang, bang. Their two fastest goals since relocation from Atlanta. I saw that tweet from the Jets official Twitter account. So two goals in 10 seconds, 4-0. And people's minds are blown based on the performance of the Jets in this first period.
Yeah, and it's hard not to be, right, Drew? And that was going to be some useless potpourri that I was going to drop, but
you beat me to it.
You beat me to it, just like I beat you to that health news. So, this is, again, everybody getting a piece of this game, right? You've got Adam Lowry, who the captain, who's getting involved and doing exactly what he's good at, right? Using his size, using his strength, getting to the front of the net, and creating that opportunity. So nice play by David Gustafson. I mean, like we've talked about, here's a guy who most likely when Nino Niederreiter is healthy on Tuesday, presumably he's healthy on Tuesday, but you know, he's going to be the one who most likely sits. Again, we don't know. We'll see what happens in terms of the lineup.
I bet you he's still in the lineup on Tuesday and somebody else gets the night off to rest.
Yeah, and again, that'll all depend on tomorrow's game in Vegas. So I'm sure that everyone will be watching that one. Of course, not everyone. Some of us will be at the Moose game, final Moose home game of the regular season. They're inching closer to the playoffs, haven't quite clinched, very likely to be done either tonight or tomorrow. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Drew. I mean, that's one of those... But I'm just saying that in the normal course, like if this was the end of the season, David Gustafson, despite the fact that he's playing well, is most likely your guy who's coming out. And he just fits the identity of that line, right? He plays, he's got size. He goes to the front of the net, creates some havoc with the defense. They don't kind of becomes a handful, which creates that opportunity for Adam Lowry. And then Adam Lowry is able to pick up the rebound and put it into the empty net. And suddenly you just think to yourself, like, and it's not great defense by the Avs. I mean, the Avs just are kind of, again, abdicating their responsibility.
They were
front of the net.
They were just they were utterly shell shocked at this point in time. I mean, look how easy. Go back and watch that goal. It was for the Jets. They win the faceoff. It goes back. They gain center. They dump it in deep. The cup, you know, the puck ends up back at the point to DeMelo. A quick shot. You know, Gustafson gets the tip. Rebound. The Avalanche just were like, what the hell just happened?
And Taves is not even close to Lowry.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, again, giving abdicating your responsibility to the front of the net or ceding it, I should say, to the opposition, not a good way for success. So suddenly it's 4-0 and you're like, what the hell am I watching? The Jets are just, you know, and again, like I said, I've got a split screen, kind of like Drew always talks about his second screen. My first screen was a actual hockey game at Canada Life Center. My second screen, of course, was my computer where I had the game on. But it was wild because you just too fast, too furious, right? Bang, bang, as our friend Dennis Bayek would say, and suddenly the Jets are up 4-0. And you're like, and we talked about it in our preamble, are the Avs, what's the response going to be from Colorado? Right. Or conversely, how are the Jets going to continue to build on this? I'll be completely candid with the folks. That's what we do here. I was expecting it to be more of the former than it was going to be the latter.
So did I, because how would you not expect it to be so? I mean, that you know, Colorado is a team full of Stanley Cup champions. It's a team of professionals with tons of pride. You would expect that there'd be a pushback, and frankly, there wasn't. I mean, the Jets, you know, even though, yes, it took them a little bit of time to get, you know, some shots early in that second period, it wasn't for a lack of opportunities. The Jets had 7 shot attempts in the first, you know, I think 5 or so minutes of the second period. They just didn't get them on goal, which is not to say that they weren't in some dangerous areas. So the Jets just continued to pick up in the second period where they left off after 20 minutes. Sam Girard, by the way, in concussion protocol. I mentioned he left the game. Concussion protocol, according to Avs head coach Jared Bednar. So it's at this point in time, 4-0 for the Jets after 20 minutes. And then they make it 5-0 because hell, why not? It's Tyler Toffoli. He gets his 32nd of... And it's just the Jets in a quick transition. The Avs are actually in a good spot and have a decent scoring opportunity. They miss. The puck rings around the board, and Connor picks it up. And it's a 2-on-1. Connor to Toffoli to the back of the net. Textbook by the Winnipeg Jets as the Avalanche, of course, are pushing and pressing, trying to crawl back into the game and being even more loose defensively. Because when you're down 4-0, that's rarely the time where you're necessarily going to start to button up your defensive details, Dave.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked about players who you want to see get going. And Tyler Toffoli is definitely one of them. They brought him in. They didn't pay the ultimate price to get Tyler Toffoli, but you knew that.
They didn't have to kill anybody. to get
Tyler Toffoli. Is that the ultimate price?
Would think the ultimate price is getting is having to kill somebody. Yes.
You know what? Look, but it's another example of Josh Manson trying a little too much. And, you know, it's one of the things that Rick Bowness talked about when things are going wrong for your hockey team, that guys, they're not trying to be hot dogs. They're not trying to do this for their own individual glory. They're just trying because they care. They want to make something happen. But because you do that, you get out of that structure that's so critical for your team to play within. And Josh Manson, perfect example, right? He flies up Main Street, as they call it. And I'm not talking about downtown Winnipeg, but he flies up Main. And the problem is the puck's going the other way. So the Jets transition quickly. Yeah. Which again, isn't good if you're the defenseman, seeing you're like, you know, it's kind of like, you're in trouble. And, you know, Kyle Connor, to his credit, uses his speed. And then Tyler Toffoli doesn't really need to burn to get there. But again, when you've played as many games as that veteran forward has, he knows what to do. He knows where to be. He's got a good shot, puts it in. And that to me breaks the spirit of 4-0, probably already broke the spirit, Drew, especially when it was two goals in 10 seconds. But that goal, because it's 4-1, you're like, maybe we can eat away at that. But when it's 5-0, you know, it's good night, nurse.
Yeah. What happens when it's 6-0? Because that came next for the Winnipeg Jets. You know, not that long after, just under 5 minutes later, it's Sean Monahan, his 26th of the year, assist to Josh Morrissey and Nikolai Ehlers. And this makes it 6-0 for the Winnipeg Jets. And again, I was just watching the goal back again. And what you love about this one, Ehlers gets the second assist.
Yeah.
But he starts the play in the Jets' defensive zone by collecting a puck that's along the boards, sort of at the face-off circle. That's where the play starts. He makes the play there to get it onto the stick of Monahan. And then Monahan and Morrissey really have the passing play that results in the goal to make it 6-0. And the Avalanche, of course, completely shell-shocked and really just shadows of themselves at this point. But what you love, and you can go back and you can watch it, folks, is the last player back. So as you see sort of the camera angle shooting from behind Connor Hellebuyck up the ice to where the Jets have just celebrating, and they're celebrating the goal. The last player back, the guy who's in the Jets' own zone still with his hands in the air celebrating with his teammates, is Nikolai Ehlers. That's the 200-foot game that the Jets were so successful at playing, is that everybody, all players on the ice, are the ones contributing, and it's starting in their own zone. And then Morrissey, of course, a defenseman, by the way, is the one who's up there. You can see the players feeding off each other and knowing that they got the support and the puck support that was so key to the Jets' success early in the year. You can see it exemplified on this goal. It starts in the defensive zone with the defensive play by Ehlers. It ends with the goal by Monahan, and Rick Bowness, to use the old Paul Maurice quote, will probably consider this coach's porn for how he wants this team to play.
Yeah, I think it's a fair way of assessing it, Drew, because what did you see? You saw a forward recognize that the defenseman was pinching and he needed to stay back and defend if necessary. So, I mean, the commitment from guys like Nikolai Ehlers and Kyle Connor, Mark Scheifele, that's what you need. You need guys who have the ability to get back, and to play that defensive structure, because Colorado is a very talented hockey team. And sure, the Jets put up 7 against them. Sorry if that's a spoiler alert, because at this point it was only 6-0. But, you know, that's what you need to do to win in the Stanley Cup. That's what you need. I mean, not that I've ever won a Stanley Cup other than in sports.
I was going to say, please tell me about your Stanley Cup experience.
Well, I've talked to people who have won Stanley Cups.
There you go. That counts.
So maybe they've imparted some wisdom, if you will. But it's that idea of sacrifice. And so, you know, like I said, sometimes it comes down to sacrificing some offensive opportunities. But more often than not, this is what Rick Bowness, I suspect, will, when we hear from them next. You said the Jets are off to, on, do you mean, I assume you meant they're not playing again until Tuesday. Not that right. They're off till Tuesday.
No, they're not playing.
They'll be off. Yeah.
They're okay, off tomorrow, but I'm sure they'll practice on Monday.
Yeah. I was like, Drew, you're ruining my thing here. I thought for sure I'd have some Jets to cover on Monday, but look, 6-0, Sean Monahan. It's almost funny. He almost seemed bemused when he scored his goal. Very kind of muted celebration, almost a little bit boring, if you will. But he has been such found money for this organization. And let me tell you, that was worth the pick that they traded, obviously, especially if it works out. But he really has found a good spot on this team. And, like the Jets are, you're up 6-0. Monahan has 26 goals. Josh Morrissey, 57 assists. So, we talked about it. He's going to probably hit 60. Not in guarantee, of course, but he could hit 60 very easily. Look, against Seattle and Vancouver, there's some opportunity there. We don't even know if Josh Morrissey will be playing, but I was going to say, if he plays, but ultimately you've got a team that's up 6-0 and feeling very good, and a fan base based on the chat right now that is very happy with their home team.
Well, let's make it 7-0. Let's get they got the touchdown. Let's make it a converted touchdown.
Yes.
It comes a minute and 22 seconds later. I mean, the Jets talk about scoring in bunches. They score 2 goals in a minute 22. They score 2 goals in 10 seconds, and they score 2 goals in 2 minutes and 3 seconds. So it came in waves for the Winnipeg Jets.
I guess if we're going to criticize them, it's that they didn't score a goal in the third period.
You know what? Maybe after the break, we'll critique that. We won't, folks. Adam Lowry gets his 12th of the year, his second of the game. Gustafson getting his second assist of the game. 2-point night for them. And again, what you see on this play is the Jets, Gustafson and Lowry, it starts in the defensive zone. It's just a 2-on-2 battle. That's all it is. It's Lowry, it's Gustafson, it's a board battle, and they're just bigger and stronger than Devon Taves in this case. And Lowry is just streaking up the ice after he collects the puck, and Taves is now in a trailing position. Didn't try and get back that hard, I would argue. And Lowry just, I thought it wasn't even much of a shot. He just sort of goes 5-hole on the Avs goaltender at this point in time. It's Eustace Annanen who's come in for Gorgiev after the 4-0 goal. And there was very limited celebration from Adam Lowry on this one. Just very muted, very sheepish a little bit. Just like, okay, yeah, we scored. It's 7-0. I don't want to give you guys any more fuel for anything. I don't want to get you guys riled up and considering, revenge or anything is, what I'm portraying Adam Lowry's thoughts as. 7-0 at this point in time, after 40 minutes. What a performance by the Winnipeg Jets. And before we sort of wrap up the second period, we have to talk about Neil Pionk's hit on Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah.
That's Neil Pionk at his best. Neil Pionk lays a nice,
clean, hard disturber
body check. Yeah. Nice, clean, hard body check on Nathan MacKinnon. The Avalanche don't like it, and so they're going to respond to him. And Ross Colton, you can see Pionk got the best of Ross Colton on this one.
That
Colton
grin.
Colton gave him a couple of shots and wasn't going to get penalized for them. And that the little, pardon my French again, folks, the little shit-eating grin that was on Neil Pionk's face is what caused Colton to give him that third little jab. And that's the one that ended up with the penalty that he got penalized for. The Jets don't score on the power play, though, but you could see how they were in the Avalanche mind. And this all happened early in the second period, before the Jets had even made it 5-0, 6-0, and 7-0. You knew the Jets had the Avalanche psyched out at this point in time.
Absolutely. And you're right, Drew. It's little plays like that. That's what Neil Pionk, where he's best, is when he's getting in there under their skin and irritating those guys. And look, this is, should be a fun series, and it's going to be a good one to watch and to cover. And we'll be doing that, of course, for every minute now with pregame shows and postgame shows, but we'll be doing it in all capacities. And so I wonder about the confidence that David Gustafson is building being part of that line with Adam Lowry and Mason Appleton. And it's exactly what the Jets saw in David Gustafson, an opportunity for a guy who can chip in offensively, right? He's got a goal in the last game, 2 assists in this game. And it's not all about scoring and production in that line, but you have to, we've talked about it. You can't just have two lines that produce and the other two that just kind of tread water. You need a third line that's, especially one, if they're going to get the minutes that the Lowry line does, they're going to have to produce. And obviously we know that they are on the PK a lot, but that's what David Gustafson is able to bring, right? He's a good, can take faceoffs. He's good on the PK. So
you know what I notice about David Gustafson? Sorry, Dave, for interrupting you. No, what I notice about him now more than ever is his physical presence on the ice.
Yeah.
You know, that he looks like a man out there, that he's not, you know, he's always been, you know, had a decent amount of height. His height was never a problem, 6'2". But, you know, again, when you're 6'2" and you're 20 years old, you're likely to be more of a string bean than you are, you know, a physical specimen. Yeah. When you see him out there now, there's a mass to him. There's a heft to him. He looks like he's grown into that body and his frame has filled out. So now you're a 6'2", you know, they say 200 pounds. I suspect he might even be a little bit more than that, but whatever it is, there's the physical side of things is where you can see him sort of maturing before your eyes. I've noticed this year.
Yeah. And I just think like I said, we knew defensively, he was always going to have that ability.
Right.
And he himself has talked about it, the idea of bringing more offense to his game. So if he's doing that, it's going to bode well for the Winnipeg Jets. And it did on this occasion to set up that goal. And then ultimately the Jets ride to the 7-0 win.
7-0. The Jets dominate the Colorado Avalanche. The third period, obviously no goals. The Jets do maintain the shutout for Connor Hellebuck, which you knew had to have been their goal for the final 20 minutes. Great victory for the Jets. They are now one regulation victory or one victory or one Avalanche defeat away from clinching second spot in the Central Division, something that certainly didn't seem realistic a couple weeks ago, but a 6-game winning streak will certainly do that. And the Jets, pardon the pun, flying high so far as we approach the end of the regular season. When we come back on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Dave will tell us all that happened with the other Manitoba-based professional hockey team. They scored 7 goals themselves. I don't know if we'll go goal by goal with that, but Dave will give us a rundown of the Moose game. We'll do the hardest hitting comment courtesy of our friends at Tough Duck. Much more to come. Don't go anywhere. Your Saturday night plans will start soon, but just not quite yet as the Illegal Curve post-game show rolls on.
BP's new York Sicilian square footers. With a thicker crust than ever before, they're light and airy on the inside and oh so crispy on the outside. You're going to have your work cut out for you.
Okay, fine.
Try the New York Sicilian square footers, only at Boston Pizza.
You guys ever wish for a game changer in life?
Like finding out your favorite snack has 0 calories?
Or discovering the mute button on Ezzy?
Picture this, a secret weapon for parking, where you can book a spot a whole month in advance.
Tell me more, Drew.
Pre-book your parking at really low rates, or maybe even for free if you use the code IllegalCurve.
Free? What is this, sorcery?
The Grid Park app. It's a real secret weapon that has affordable game day parking, and to sweeten the deal even more.
I love sweets.
Our listeners can use the code IllegalCurve to park for free.
Holy Zamboni!
Tell me about it. Just download Grid Park, GRYD Park, and use the code IllegalCurve, all one word, to park for free.
The game can change.
Ah!
Just like that. Accidents happen when you aren't protected. So now what? Getting to your injury quickly can make all the difference. Help prevent them from being game changers with Linden Market Dental Center. Bonding, crowns, bridges, and dental implants. State-of-the-art treatments are available to help you get back in the game. To learn more, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Your coworkers love you because you always make them laugh. You're the life of the party with stories that have them rolling on the floor. Or maybe you're just the quiet one in the corner with the one-liners that just slay. Do you have what it takes to become Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job? Try your luck. Hit the stage at Rumors Comedy Club and you could be walking away with $1,000 cash. Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job. Presented by Rumors. For all the details, head to RumorsComedyClub.com.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rolly's and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments. Even the illegal curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. Big thanks to all of our sponsors. It's because of their support and your loyal viewership and audioship, which definitely isn't a word, that makes this show a possibility. So we do appreciate everybody that's joined us, whether you joined us this morning, whether you joined us for the post-game show, maybe you joined us for both. Those are the people we love the best, but we all thank you for your continued support of the Illegal Curve brand. And of course, that brand will be on full display for the pregame shows coming up before each and every Winnipeg Jets home playoff game. We'll be at City Place in downtown Winnipeg up on the second floor. So be sure to join us for those pregame shows prior to the upcoming Jets home playoff games. We'll be at Boston Pizza for road game number one as well. You know where to find Illegal Curve all over the socials. And of course, the website has all the latest news and information that you are going to need to know. The Moose were successful as well and also are inching towards a playoff spot. They're on the cusp of it. Dave M. will tell us what happened this afternoon in downtown Winnipeg.
Put on your antlers. It's time for the Minook Moose Minute on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
There's a lot to discuss, and I was trying to get a tweet out, but I got it out in time, and this Moose team was in need. Iowa needed to win in regulation to defeat the Moose and hold on to any semblance of a chance. They were basically out. They were 10 points back of the Moose, I think, but they only had five games left, as did Manitoba. Coming into today's game, great crowd on hand. It was mascot madness. They were giving away little plush Manitoba Mooses, Mickey Mooses, but they were also surrounded by tons of mascots. I thought they brought in all these mascots from the AHL. It turned out to be local mascots. So Buzz and Boomer, the polar bear from the Assiniboine Zoo, those types of things. Anyways, Ezzy was a mascot. It was quite an entertaining. Lots of kids, as you'd expect.
I just heard you say that. It took me a second to register what you just said. I was looking at some things online.
That's okay. You're thinking about your things you'd rather be doing, the shopping, all that other stuff. But ultimately, look, this was a game that the Moose knew, you know, they didn't want to give Iowa any life, and Chicago and Texas lost. More importantly, Texas lost in regulation to San Jose, who's not a very good team. So that was interesting, but the Moose were ready to roll. Not really any changes. Thomas Milich, the Jets 2023 fifth rounder, he gets the start again. He was tested early as the Moose kind of abdicated their responsibility to the front of the net. He was up to the task. And then that's when the Moose started to get things going. That identity line that folks hear me talk about so much, Jeffrey Viel, Christian Reichel, and Parker Ford, they got things going and they would be mentioned throughout the course of this hockey game. Jeffrey Viel, he scores. And it's amazing because Drew, these guys, a lot of them had 20, 30, almost 20 games earlier in the season, probably coinciding when the Moose went 0-10-1 and were looking like the playoffs were a dream. These guys weren't scoring. And then eventually they started scoring. Hey, what a surprise. The Moose started winning. And now they, like I said, they're on the cusp of the playoffs. Jeffrey Viel, he gets his 16th of the campaign from a nice pass by Parker Ford, 1-0 for the Moose. And then they keep on going. Dominic Toninato, they actually had a 5-on-3. He comes out of the box and Kyle Capobianco mentioned, I'll be mentioning him today because he had 3 assists on the first 4 goals. He's leading the AHL. He gets the 50 points for the first time in his career. He's leading the AHL for defensive scoring. Real nice play by him. He kind of airmails it. Dominic Toninato takes it, and he scores. So now it's 2-0. Then Mark Lewiski, straight from Dauphin, Manitoba, he scores his first AHL goal. He's on the fourth line with Carson Golder and Henry Nikkanen. So now it's 3-0 for the Moose. And then the Moose, like the Jets, say, why should we stop there? Christian Reichel.
More everything.
Exactly. He gets his 19th goal. Nice pass by Kyle Capobianco, kind of a slap pass. So that made it 4-0 for the Moose. And like I said, Capobianco had 3 assists on those first 4 goals. Christian Reichel kept things rolling. He gets to 20 with his beautiful goal, real nice pass, nice stretch pass, and Reichel scores, make it 5-0. That's his 20th goal of the season. And then the shutout bid, though, of Thomas Milic, unlike Connor Hellebuck, this one did get broken up because a guy that folks who paid attention to the Winnipeg Ice will know his name, Michael Milne. He gets the Iowa Wild on the board with a nice power play tip or redirection, I should say. So it ended up being a 5-1 game at that point. And then Ville-Heinola made a bit of an ill-advised play shorthanded on 3-on-1. Didn't make a great pass. Wild turned it up and they make it 5-2. So you're like, uh-oh, we've seen this one before. But then with the net pulled at 6:49 mark, because of course, like I said, they're down 5-2. They need to win. So they're going to do something a little bit radical, shorthanded. They pull the goalie. So it was a 6-on-4. And Jeffrey Viel from long range, he makes it 6-2 with his 17th of the season. But the Moose, unlike the Jets, Moose were a little sloppy. Poppy was a little sloppy. So they gave up 2 quick goals with about 2 minutes to go in the game to make it a 6-4 game. But have no fear. Christian Reichel is here. He gets his first hat trick of his career. I'm not going to say that his father, Robert Reichel, being in the building helped, but it sure helped. They might want to move him here from Europe because he has his first 3-goal, 1-assist game to make it a 7-4 final for the Manitoba Moose. And that is exactly how it ends. So the Moose, like I said, they are 1 point away from clinching a playoff spot, which will happen if Chicago loses. And more importantly, they are now just 3 points back of Texas with a game in hand, and they will end the season in Texas with 2 games. So they'll play 1 more tomorrow against Iowa, like I said, Fan Appreciation Day. Then they'll head to Milwaukee, play 1 game on Wednesday against the Admirals, and then 2 against Texas next weekend.
There you go. Dave M., the Minook Moose Minute, another team from Manitoba, popping 7 goals. 14 goals for 2 hockey teams from Manitoba. That's pretty good, folks.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you don't need to be an expert analyst to know that 7 goals per game per team is a pretty good way to go about.
Pretty good.
There you go, Larry David. Tough Duck, hardest hitting comment. We'll wrap up the post-game show.
The Tough Duck, hardest hitting comment.
Big thanks to our friends at Tough Duck for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Quickly getting to the point of trucker hats, not just the Tough Duck toques, but it's going to be Tough Duck trucker hats moving forward pretty soon as the weather turns nice, although they say that there might even get some snow showers in the middle of the week. But it's beautiful outside today, folks, so we do encourage you, as soon as we wrap here, to do that and head on outside. Congratulations to Max Chapelaz, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but Max, you'll forgive me. There was not one player on the Jets who had a bad game. This is what the Jets, that is what the Jets need to win, a complete buy-in from all their players. If they do that, they are a serious threat to any team. We bookended this post-game show with those comments. We had Bobby off the start with his comment. We have Max with his comment here. And that's the truth of the matter when it comes to the Winnipeg Jets. Play like you played tonight. Play like you played on Thursday night. The Jets will not be an easy out come playoff time. Max, send me an email. drew@illegalcurve.com. Slide into my DMs on X/Twitter @ICDrew. Send us your mailing address. We'll hook you up with that great prize, courtesy of our friends at Tough Duck. Busy, busy Saturday, as it has been as usual for us here on this program. We say a big thank you to all the sponsors of Illegal Curve who make the post-game show, the Saturday show, the website a possibility. That is our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. 2 shows tonight, 7:15, basically sold out, but you still got time to get a few tickets left for the 9:45 show, rumorscomedyclub.com. Go see Kevin Bozeman, and if you go see Kevin, ask him what it was like to go bowling with Dave with Ezzy, with yours truly, and then Dave and Ezzy took him to the McDonald's drive-thru. So if you go to Rumors tonight, go ask Kevin what it was like when that happened a few years ago. A great memory, I'm sure, for Kevin. Our friends at Grid Park, use code IllegalCurve to park for free. Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Betway, they're the title sponsor of the post-game show. Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and of course, Farmery Beer support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. The website, IllegalCurve.com, it's got all your latest Winnipeg Jets, Manitoba Moose, news, audio, everything. Go to IllegalCurve.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You know how to get there. The YouTube channel has, of course, got the immediate instant replay. The podcast will be up soon as well. We thank you all for joining us this morning. We thank you all for joining us this evening. Go have a great Saturday night. We're going to do another post-game show on Tuesday night. Join us around 9:45 p.m. for that. Smash the like button. Subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe to the channel. Leave us feedback here, there, and everywhere. We appreciate your support in doing so. For Dave Minuk, for Ezra Ginsberg in absentia, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show. We'll see you Tuesday night. Until then, we wish you good night and good luck. And thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, IllegalCurve.com.